Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The next generation of faith is already with us, just as sure as one generation ages as another is born. While each generation of the faithful hopes theirs is the last until the return of Jesus Christ, until Jesus does return, there will be the next generation of faith. That next generation of faith will be filled with people, some of whom we may know, and others of whom we may never know. And yet the quest for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness will never be broken. For those who are of that next generation of faith, what could this generation of faith share with them? We might share with them the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was first given, showing that the promise of salvation was given to those who were there that day, and the next generation, and for many generations down the road. Acts 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. This generation of faith might tell the next generation of faith that each generation of faith is responsible for maintaining the faith. We cannot look back to prior generations of faith and conclude that their faith then is sufficient for us today. Like prior generations of faith, the current generation of faith must remain as people of the faith. This was hinted at when Joshua succeeded Moses and led Israel from 40 years of wandering to the Promised Land. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We might look to the words of Paul in writing to Timothy, a younger minister of the next generation of faith. Paul warned Timothy of perilous times to come, how many would depart from the faith, and how many would confuse traditions and fables with faith. He also reminded Timothy of the need to let no person despise his youth and to live his life in such a way that no person would despise his youth, because he lived a life led by faith in word, knowing the text of the scriptures, conversation, which today would be called behavior, charity or love, spirit, faith, and purity. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's important that the next generation of faith be grounded in what is in the Bible. It's important that they know that the faith of the Bible is not something that needs to be redesigned for each generation. What they learned of the Bible as a child will still be valid when they are adults, and that the Bible is designed to bring us from where we are as mortal humans to the resurrection and our place in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the next generation of faith, who will without doubt see incredible advances in technology, health care, and infrastructure, it's important that they know that while the world around them changes, faith must remain constant. God and Jesus Christ do not change. Let's read some verses confirming that, starting with Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In Hebrews, we are told Jesus Christ does not change and are warned to not be led astray by extreme and new teachings. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them, which have been occupied therein. James tells us There are not even minor adjustments to who God is. James 1, verse 17. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The next generation of faith, like the current and past generations of faith, will not be believed if what they do does not match what they say. During all generations, the faithful have had to ensure their behavior matches their beliefs and what they say. With each generation of faith, there is no room for hypocrisy. James shows our behavior must be rooted in meekness, meaning that what we do is done without trying to show how good we are. Let's read what James wrote in James 3, starting with verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Peter showed that having honest behavior among non-believers will cause them to think highly of us, even if they disagree with the faith we have. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Like the current generation of faith, the next generation of faith must embrace love out of a pure heart, beyond just the faith that we have. When all is said and done, and our time of death comes, that love out of a pure heart should be who we are, because that is the result of the commandments of God. If we do not have love out of a pure heart at the end of our life, we have somehow gone astray. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. All generations of faith tend to be very interested in prophecy, but Paul shows that prophecy without love is nothing. He also shows that we can have the most devotional form of religion, but without love, it is nothing. The current generation of faith and the next generation of faith must frame everything we do through the lens of pure love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The next generation of faith, as has all generations of faith, will need to choose to follow righteousness, faith, pure love, and peace, instead of allowing the human body to dictate what happens. Instead of allowing what is physical to rule what is spiritual will need to rule what is physical, and that requires a deliberate choice. Each generation of faith has had to make this choice, and the next generation of faith will also need to make this choice. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The next generation of faith, like all generations of faith, will need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the best thing that the current generation of faith can do is not to impede access to the Holy Spirit. The current generation of faith cannot force the next generation to be baptized, nor can it delay the next generation from being baptized. Faith is not restricted by age, and the sooner we can help the next generation see the benefit in walking after the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, the better it will be for them, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit. When baptisms are delayed arbitrarily because of age, we keep the next generation walking after the flesh. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit, like God in Jesus Christ, does not change. The Holy Spirit may bring different gifts to different people, but that is based on what is unique about each person. All generations of faith have needed to understand how the Holy Spirit worked in their lives, and the current generation of faith needs to work with the next generation of faith to show how the Holy Spirit will work in their lives too. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of the knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Having the Holy Spirit means a person of faith must live their life reflective of the Holy Spirit they have been given. Having been given the Holy Spirit, what we do must be different than what might be expected from a person without the Holy Spirit. No generation of faith can live a life in opposition to the Holy Spirit and hope to benefit from the Holy Spirit. Past generations of faith, the current generation of faith, and the next generation of faith cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. We are to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All generations of faith have come to terms with what faith is. We have faith for something that we have not yet received, but we hope to receive one day. It is faith which keeps us grounded. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The current generation of faith can teach the next generation of faith of the need to have a pure conscience. We know we cannot be one way among the faithful and another way among the non-believers, nor can we have the hang-ups of society such as getting drunk and focused on money. We also value allowing a person to prove themselves in the faith before they are given spiritual offices. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We might think faith is an understood concept, and yet Jesus asked an important rhetorical question that should have this generation of faith reconsider the depth and breadth of our faith. Jesus used the parable of a city judge to show that God will avenge his people who come to him in prayer. Even with his promise in the parable, Jesus asked if, at his return, he would really find faith on earth. We need to teach the next generation of faith not to assume they have faith. We need to teach that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and that God will respond to their prayers. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The next generation of faith needs to be reminded that faith is not a one and done deal. Faith is not something we have for a while and then put away. Faith is something we have through the day we die. We must continue in the faith and be solid in what we believe. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Like all generations of faith, the next generation of faith will need to understand that faith stands in the power of God and not the wisdom of men. There is no human, not even a minister or priest, who is our source of faith. Faith stands in the power of God, and as the current generation of faith works with the next generation of faith, we must remind them to focus on God and not men. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All generations of faith need to be reminded that faith is crucial to our salvation. To be part of the kingdom of God, we must overcome this world, and it is faith that gives us victory to overcome this world. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is crucial in resisting Satan. Satan seeks the destruction of each generation of faith and all individuals of faith. Throughout time, Satan has been resisted by faith as the people of faith, including the current and next generation of faith, knows that it is by God's mercy we will be part of the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The book of Revelation tells us who the saints are. And who the saints are sounds very much like people of faith from every generation. These are the people who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The current generation of faith knows and can teach the next generation of faith that faith requires action on our part. Faith is more than belief. Faith is belief and action. Satan and the demons believe there is God, but they do not have any action to act on that belief. They seek destruction of God and all who are people of faith. Faith without works is dead, and we very much want a living faith filled with actions that correspond to the beliefs we have. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The next generation of faith will need to understand that each of us needs to purify ourselves. No generation of faith can live their lives in the filth of sin and hope for a spiritual result. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. All generations of faith have lived on this planet and seen the sins of people around us. No generation of faith is to become like the people who are not of the faith. When others around us sin, we stay away. We keep ourselves pure, knowing that all people have sin. The sins of some people are much more obvious and noticeable. All generations of faith have had to come to terms with this concept. Even if the world does not see something as sin, if the Bible says something is sin, it is sin and something we must avoid. 1 Timothy 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. The next generation of faith needs to be taught that not all people think like people of faith. Those who seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness tend to be focused on those things which are spiritual. Those who are not called do not think about spiritual things. They think about physical things, which often are in opposition to what God wants us to do. Titus 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Living in a world focused on sin, we are to focus on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and that has a good report. No generation of faith can live in a world focused on sin and give themselves permission to also be focused on sin. Generations of faith must be focused on what is spiritual. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If the current or next generation of faith wants to understand how the Bible defines pure religion, it's this: to look out for and visit the orphans and widows in their troubles, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. There is no room for sin in the life of the faithful, and there must be room for widows and orphans. James 1, verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Finally, the current generation of faith can teach the next generation of faith that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is through Jesus Christ. We need to teach that even though things seek to separate us, we always win, because when God is for us, nobody can be against us. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Teaching the next generation of faith is something the current generation of faith must do. And each generation of faith will teach the next generation of faith through the return of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ returns, then all generations of faith will be working to help those who at the second resurrection receive their opportunity for salvation. Until the last enemy of death is defeated, there will always be the next generation of faith. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.